7:20 on News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Coming up at 7:50, we'll reconnect with Congressman and physician Dr. Greg Murphy, Eastern North Carolina. News about the vaccine. Interesting news out of the UK this morning about possible vaccine reactions, allergic reactions. So another layer of concerns as we get to that point of things. But the big news last night here in Charlotte, CMS school board meeting, 6-3. CMS board votes to move all students to full remote learning from December 14th through January 15th. So that means the January 5th date that was targeted for high school students and the remainder of the middle school students, that date, the 5th, gets pushed to the 19th. Rhonda Cheek, CMS school board member, was part of this marathon meeting, yet another one last night, and she's up early with us at 7:20. I thank you for that, as always.
Hey, working women got to get up early.
So, 6-3, the vote last night. You voted against this, also Sean Strain, and Margaret Marshall did too.
Pretty much the way we've been doing things for the last couple months.
And so this, I can already hear the argument, because a lot of reactions on this Wednesday morning, both to what you all decided last night and what Governor Cooper put out yesterday with his executive order, which in his order is putting this curfew into effect. And there are going to be people, I know you can imagine them saying, okay, so wait a minute, the virus is more dangerous between the hours of 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. There are going to be people who say, okay, what about pre-K students? They're still going to go to school like normal. How does that work? Are they more susceptible than the other students? So what do you say to somebody who might say that?
Well, I think I said it last night at the meeting.
Yeah.
I actually said if it's okay for pre-K students to be in full time, they're not just there like 2 days a week. They're there every day, pre-K.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is our deputy superintendent said it is the risk benefit is to keep them in. They are not a high risk for disease transmission, and the learning loss and the academic disaster that we create for those kids by them being remote is not worth is not worth keeping them out. They need to be in school. So my question back to that person and to my fellow board members was that what's the difference between pre-K and kindergarten?
Mm-hmm.
Half a year, a couple months, then you get up to K-3, which we know if students are not reading by third grade, that their chance of being academically successful diminish greatly. So I said, well, why can't we at least keep K-3 in if we know that that is where critical learning is occurring?
And
they all acknowledge that that's real, but they couldn't do it.
Well, and I suppose there are probably parents that are also saying today, I have two kids in CMS. I understand the spike that we're seeing, and I understand that all of a sudden we have a surge here following Thanksgiving and ahead of Christmas and other holidays where there's reason to believe that could go higher. There's also the vaccine on the other side of this. So I guess the January 19th goal would seem fairly realistic given the vaccine side of this, and that there's a reason to believe that once you get past the first of the year, this starts to hopefully subside. But I can also hear people saying, okay, look, starting and stopping was probably something we all anticipated, but we would have liked to have had some in-school, in-person instruction before now. If we had been in classes, and when I say we, I said if most students had been in classes and you're taking a break over this holiday spike, that's easier to digest for a lot of people than they still haven't been in at all yet, and now we're kicking it down the road again.
I said to somebody I know back when we extended the middle school date out, I was asked by you, do I think that we'll be back January 5th? Do you think high schools will get back? And I think I told you I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah.
I don't like to be predictive of negative things, but I don't think that we have it there. I mean, I get the spike, but I get the emotions behind it. I get the emotions that teachers have about this and that parents have about this on both sides. My emails are flying. I was getting texts from elected officials last night, from people outside of Mecklenburg County on school boards that I know. My phone was blowing up during the entire evening, which, of course, I got chastised about for looking at my phone on Twitter, but that's okay. I try to keep informed as I'm being informed at meetings. But You know, I don't know what to tell parents. I wish that I could say I think we'll be back January 19th. That's what we're saying. But every time we get close to those stop dates, something happens and data is not the primary driver of our decisions.
Okay, so another important thing about last night's vote is that it does not change the in-class requirement for the end-of-course testing, which is next week. And last time I talked to you, I think you told me there were conversations going back and forth between the district and the state, but the state had not been as forthcoming as the district would like about a formal declaration about that. As of right now, these end-of-course tests that are state-mandated still are expected to go on next week.
There is, but parents can opt, or students can opt to take them up through June 30th, so they don't have to come next week. The state did give us that flexibility. Really, it's the federal government and the Department of Education that needs to give us the leeway not to take them. But they're on, and we're gonna, you know, kids are gonna come if they want to. If parents don't want them to come, they can flex out and take those tests sometime before the end of the school year.
Okay, that's good information right there. Thanks for clarifying that. And I always ask you about sports. I'm going to ask you again. And the sports part of this affected, I would assume, by what Governor Cooper put into effect yesterday, because that affects when everything has to shut down for the night. So going back into full remote, does that imply, should I assume, or should we assume that athletic activities are affected by that?
Well, no, because you can't get COVID in a basketball gym.
Especially if you're wearing a mask, right?
If you're wearing a mask, so you're good. So no, we're not changing sports. The State Athletic Association is staying open. The only thing we did vote last night was to change the academic requirements for kids to qualify. And ironically about that is it was recommended by staff that we needed to lower the requirements. And staff talked about how kids were suffering academically and socially and emotionally from the remote learning, which was right after we voted, my colleagues voted, to go back into remote learning. And then we hear from the athletic director that kids are suffering academically, socially, and emotionally by our decision, by this board's decision, not by COVID, not by the virus, but they're suffering because of the decision to be in remote learning. So we lowered the standards to stay on academic teams. And I hate to do that. I hate to ever lower the bar. But kids need athletics. For some of these kids, that's their only thing they've got right now.
Yeah,
I don't want to take that away from a kid. I mean, I know how important academics are. So, but isn't that ironic that it's okay, and that we literally were acknowledging in that vote that we know that academically we're hurting kids with the decision to be in remote learning.
6-3, that was the vote last night. Rhonda Lennon was one of those who voted against this, Well, onward we go. I don't know when the next time we'll talk, because this is just very fluid. But after a marathon meeting last night, you're kind to come on this early. And thank you as always.
Thank you. Have a great day.